Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff or management of the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
You can't do drugs before you come in and wait tables.
Yeah.
Within like the first month or two that we were open, we actually had an enforcement agent from the ABC show up and say like, you guys are selling beer on Sunday and that is not okay. And at that point we were like,
but it was.
Yeah, we were like, oh, wow. Like legally we can sell beer on Sunday, but it was so new that nobody really like had gotten caught up.
What brought you here?
A girl, that's always a girl. Yeah, everywhere I move, for some reason, it's a poor girl.
Yeah, we have two lovely children now, and been together for a
bit. The girl.
Yeah, the girl.
Okay.
I started off as a cake decorator, and I just worked my way up. And it was a learning experience for me, being in management and all the stories you can tell from that. But
please feel free.
No.
We were a motley crew, let me tell you. It was me, a Chinese guy, an Albanian guy, an Hispanic guy, and then Enzo and Vincenzo were the two Italian guys.
Okay. And you all became Italian.
And then we had no choice but to be Italian.
Welcome to the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
But we also added something that is very unique to where my husband grew up, which is Brittany. The northwest corner of France.
That's where crepes were invented in 1300, right?
You could be right.
I did research.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, that could be it. Now, the story I know, and who knows if this is true.
You telling me Google lied to me? How dare they?
Google has many faces.
Well, that's true.
Here's your host, John Engelman.
Am I the only one that thinks of the intro to Laverne and Shirley when I think of a bottling line? They put the glove
no,
on and waves.
People mention it for sure.
We're officially in double digits. Welcome to episode 10 of the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast. And hey, thank you for being here. We're going to get some pretty cool family history in this episode as we interviewed Heather Rinaldi Peachy, co-owner and operator of the Tawny Town Winery. She is a fourth generation winemaker from a family that moved to Tawny Town in 1906 or 07, depending on who you ask. She learned the art of making wine in her dad's basement where he made it. And yes, she crushed the grapes as a kid by stomping on them. Speaking of double digits, at one point there were around 10 or so wineries in Tawny Town way back in the day, with the last one closing in the 80s. Heather and her husband David decided with her father in his famed basement that they would revive the Tawny Town tradition of commercial winemaking, and they've been doing it for a decade now. Heather's family almost lost the farm years ago. Hear how it was saved. We'll also hear about their long-standing role in the Tawny Town Grape Fest, what kind of grapes grow best here in Northwest Arkansas, growing a local business, and as always, much, much more. Our conversation with Heather Rinaldi Peachy is next, right here on the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Welcome back to the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast. We are on location at the Tawny Town Winery. It's in the morning. I can't say wine. I've got to wait till at least noon to say wine,
that's
right?
That's true. It's too early.
It is too early. Heather Rinaldi Peachy, thank you for having me. She is co-owner slash operator here. And we were talking before we turned this on. We've been talking about doing this for a long time, back and forth, trying to make our schedules meet. So thank you for coming in early. Thank you for allowing me here with all my gear and talking with us.
Thanks for coming to visit.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it very much. So Gosh, so much to talk about, so much history with your family here in Tawnytown. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about you being a fourth generation winemaker. Probably not a lot of those in these parts.
You're right. unfortunately, really. Yeah. But I am thankful that our family has continued so we can continue.
Correct. So yeah. this goes back to your great-grandfather?
Mm-hmm. My great-grandfather, Nazareno Rinaldi, came from Italy to Tawnytown in 1907. Technically, he left Italy in December 20-something of 1906. So my dad will always tell you 1906.
Okay.
I say 1907 okay. because that's when he came to Tawnytown, you know, made it to
sure.
Tawnytown. So.
It's a long ride.
It is. I know, for real. So, little side note, we just went to Italy in November this last year and mm-hmm. actually we visited the town that he came
wow.
from. And for real, we took an Uber an hour up the mountain from the base of the mountain to the village that he
wow.
came from. And I truly wonder how many days it really did take him to come just down that mountain to get on the train, to get on the boat, you know?
Lord.
So, probably did take him. Into 1907.
I hope he was
I'd
a young
say.
Man at that point.
He was 21.
Okay,
yeah.
good. Okay, good.
Yeah. So he had some life ahead of him.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So tell me more about him and ending up here and getting into wine.
Okay.
And grapes.
My great-grandpa only had one child that was my grandpa, or we say Nono. His name was Joe Rinaldi.
Okay.
He and my grandmother had seven children.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's the youngest of the seven. And so Nazareno, whenever he came to the United States, he worked on other farms for quite some time, from 1907 to 1923,
mm-hmm.
worked on other farms. And I think he went to the coal mines in Missouri for a while.
Okay.
And then came back and he bought our farm in 1923. Same farm that my dad and two of his brothers still farm today.
Amazing.
Yeah. So then my grandpa was an only child, helped him on the farm, but also as he got older, he became a winemaker for Granada's Winery.
Okay.
It's was here in Tawnytown right on Highway 412. Old Highway 68 is what it was called at that time.
Gotcha.
Granada's Winery was the largest winemaker in the state at that time. They produced over 500,000 gallons of wine.
Mercy.
Yeah. So he passed away, I think, in 1975 or 76.
Okay.
Dad always talks about he passed away right in the middle of grape season, which is really interesting to me. I know. And you know how shocking that had to be. He said that it was the biggest harvest that they had had that year. Yeah. But anyway, so my dad at that time, his mom died whenever he was 2 and his dad died whenever he was 16.
Okay.
The farm then went into probate
because
there was no will.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so... they just continued to farm the farm, though they really couldn't do anything about it until my dad turned 18. So they continued to farm the farm, really, you know.
While it was just kind of wrapped up paperwork?
Kind of in limbo, yeah.
Yeah.
And then once dad turned 18, they had already made decisions on what of the kids wanted, you know, were interested in sticking around in the farm and who... wasn't interested, so he and two of his brothers bought the farm back out of probate,
wow.
paid their other siblings, you know, whatever they had agreed on, and then moved along, just the three of them.
Wow.
So it's not been easy for them,
yeah.
and it makes me more proud, you know,
sure.
That they did the hard things so we could continue someday.
Right.
So my dad still today is the last grape grower in Tawnytown. He has Rinaldi Farms. So they have the whole farm is like a produce market with a bakery. Dad does that and he does all the farming. And then his brother Norbert does the farm equipment sales. And then his other brother Paul does the feed store. So they kind of all have their own projects. But I was raised you know, in the grape vineyard a lot. And then he also grows a lot of like row crops like tomatoes, eggplant, okra, lots of pumpkins, watermelons.
Nice.
Yeah. So, very nice. That's, you know, how I was raised. We did the Fayetteville Farmers Market most of my childhood until he opened the produce market.
Yeah.
And then whenever I became, you know, old enough to work, I always had worked part-time in the produce market on the weekends, but sure. I, you know, went out to corporate America and worked for Arvest and then for Walmart and just kind of did my own thing for some years.
Sure.
And then in 2008, I worked at the Walmart home office, went through one of their famous reorgs, mm-hmm. wiped out the whole department. And on a Friday, it was a surprise. We all were displaced associates,
sure.
With no notice. And then I went Friday, you know, left my job at Walmart. On Monday, I was driving a tractor for Dad.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
fresh air.
It really worked out so well for me because I wouldn't have just quit on my own.
Right.
And then, so I worked for Dad on the farm for 2 years full time. In the, you know, in the produce market in the summer, in the winter I would work. We would prune, you know, the grapevines and sure. work in the greenhouse. And then we had always helped my dad make wine in the basement. As a kid, we would stomp the grapes for him and things, foot stomp them. And then whenever my husband and I got together, he took a real interest in it. And so we, in about probably 2009, we were making wine in the basement, and my husband said, why, you know, why isn't somebody doing this in Taneytown anymore?
Right.
There were several wineries over the years, I think about 10 or 11. The last one closed in the early 80s. That was Neil's Winery. And so we just decided to, Dad had always said he would open a winery someday, but
yeah.
There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of hoops to jump through, you know, with the state and federal ABC and TTB
sure.
and the health yeah. department. And so we literally in my dad's basement decided that it would make more sense for us to do it at mm-hmm. our age. We were both 30 years old.
Okay.
And so we started looking for a property. Yeah.
And you stumbled onto this old Taldo house, oh. and it was something that, while amazing from a history standpoint, you need some elbow grease.
We needed some elbow grease for sure. It was a good thing we were young. And something interesting about stumbling upon this Taldo house, we had contacted our realtor and just told her, you know, we're thinking about opening a winery. Kind of keep your feelers out for a location, you know, for a house that we could convert.
Sure.
And she immediately said, I have the perfect place. She had had this house listed before. At closing day, the deal fell through.
Oh.
And I know. And so the family that owned it were so discouraged, and they just took it off the market and decided to stay. And so this was just a couple of months before. And Renee was our realtor, and she said, I'm going to contact these people. So she did. And she contacted them, and they said yes, that they would consider selling it again. So I truly believe that all of that happened for us. And
happened for a reason.
Yeah, and that's kind of how things have worked here. We've worked really hard, but things have just kind of fallen in place.
That's amazing. And, yeah. Of course, like you mentioned earlier, David, your husband's the winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
What was that process like for him? Because obviously he learned over time, too.
Yes, we've had a lot of trial and error.
Which is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know, not too bad, really. Yeah. My dad worked alongside us for the first probably 10 years. He was here a lot whenever we were making, actually, like crushing grapes and, you know, transferring tanks and bottling and things like that. Dad had a lot to learn, too, though, because you know, his basement wine is a lot different than commercially made wine that has to, you know,
pass a lot
follow
of
regulations. Yeah. And so at home, we would just stomp the grapes, add a bunch of sugar, and then let that natural yeast ferment. And so here we can't really do that because of bacterias and things like that. We also don't stomp grapes anymore. We've gone fancy.
No.
And we have a stemmer crusher.
Okay.
So you just pour the grapes in the top and it spins really fast. It'll crush about as fast as you can pour.
It's great.
And it spins fast and it spins the stems off and then crushes the grapes and sends them out a hose that goes straight into a tank.
It beats purple feet.
For real. Yeah. And, you know, bee stings on your foot the things.
Oh, no.
As we got older, we would use rubber boots.
Okay, good.
But when we were younger, we truly did stomp barefoot. So my dad and David learned a lot about, so we crush the grapes with a stemmer crusher now. Mm-hmm. We add things. My husband could tell you more about what all has to be added to kill off the natural mm-hmm. yeast. And then he adds a controlled yeast, wine yeast. So it does make a better product. We also don't add a bunch of sugar in the beginning because it kind of gives it this caramely taste.
Okay.
And we like it to be more fruit forward. So
good.
We get the grapes. We test the sugar on the grapes before we will allow them, you know, accept them. And then say, you know, the sugar content. We want it about 24 because that then makes a 12% alcohol wine because the yeast eats that sugar. And it'll normally 24% sugar will be about a 12% alcohol.
Science.
Yeah. We're fancy.
All right.
So, yeah, we've really come a long way as far as how the basement wine turned into a commercial.
And so the basement wine was probably really similar to what they were doing 100 years ago.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't have a controlled yeast and maybe they didn't add the sugar. I think it probably depends on everybody's personal preference.
Sure.
We like kind of a cleaner, more fruit forward, like you can taste the fruit rather than,
and a modicum of control.
Yeah. Yes.
I would say as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So you were talking about your dad, Chris, being the last commercial grape grower in Taneytown. He supplies the Taneytown Grape Fest. Talk about that.
Yeah. It used to be, you know, the grape festival started as a celebration of the grape harvest. So everybody brought their grapes. I don't in my lifetime remember anybody else being there, but I'm sure that they were whenever I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But now our family supplies all the grapes. So they we have a grape booth, you know, a big tent where they sell lots of grapes by the quart and quart and the half bushel. And then there's a grape stomp that they do several of the nights, and he supplies the grapes for that. The spaghetti dinner has, as you walk out the door, they have grapes that you can grab kind of as a little snacky dessert, and he also provides the grapes for that. So, then also for the wine,
sure.
We get the majority of our grapes from him. He doesn't grow all of them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you were, we were talking a little bit earlier about you guys starting in 2010 and almost being 15 years.
It's crazy.
What have you learned in that time? What can you put into words that you've learned in that time? Obviously, you were talking about trial and error earlier for the wine. I think it would be that way in the business side, too.
Yes. We have, well, I think the most important thing that we learned is we've always tried to grow with the winery, you know.
Sure.
We totally could have gone into a whole bunch of debt and made, blown things up right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really our style. So we kind of learned to not get ourselves in a hurry and just kind of feel things out. We opened this winery to just sell wine by the bottle. We didn't even think about wine by the glass. We had zero seating inside.
Wow.
And none outside for the first several months. We didn't plan to even build a patio right away.
Crazy.
But so we have learned, yeah, to grow with it. We've learned that our most important part of this, and what I even push to our staff, is our number one priority is to love on the people. And I believe if you love on the people, and if you make them feel special and a part of what we have going on, that has grown us probably more than anything that we've done.
Yeah, that's uncommon nowadays. Sadly, uncommon.
Really, yeah, because we're also worried about ourselves. But for me, I believe that if you make it about others instead of about ourselves, then everybody's successful.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And growing the way you did, not getting ahead of your skis, allows you to stay nimble, and that proved fruitful, if you will, with COVID.
Yep, that's true. Also, my husband worked full-time at the University of Arkansas. He just left the university in October 2022.
Okay.
He left the university. So that also kind of made us grow slower because of, I was here by myself with maybe one person coming in a couple of days a week for a lot of years.
Gosh. Yeah. So.
And then COVID times came along.
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh heavens.
here comes the memory tissue, right? The scars.
Right. Yeah. And we were so thankful for his job at the University of Arkansas at that time. Had he have quit before, that would have been a bad deal. But sure. During COVID times, you know, we host live music here Friday and Saturday nights. At that time, now we do bingo also. But at that time, I don't know how many people we had on staff, but two that were really full-timers. And so we made the decision to, we laid those two ladies off. One was my sister, and one was our Ashley that still works full-time here.
Oh, that had to be hard.
Yes, it really was. Oh. You know, for us, I know, you know, it can be controversial, but for us, we were so thankful that they were taken care of, you Good. Know, yeah. With unemployment and things. So, and then we just brought it down to myself and David, my husband. And, you know, it was such scary time, but it was a pretty precious time for us because we did bring it back to ourselves, and we still reported here every day, and we did curbside pickup through the day. And then I think we closed at like maybe 4 or 5 at that time. We, you know, adjusted our hours, and then we would load up our car with deliveries, and we delivered wine, you know, in the evenings. And so we were able to get, we also serve local craft beer. And the ABC made it easy for us to get a growler permit where we could also take orders for not only our wine, but growlers of beer. And, you know, those were kind of the necessities during that time.
Absolutely.
For a lot of us, it's like, you know, too much time at home. It was kind of stressful.
Sure.
So the delivery thing, it worked out pretty well.
Good.
I mean, overall, obviously our sales plummeted big time, but
of course
that was at least enough to.
Well, COVID was about staying afloat.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're so thankful that we did. And then whenever things started opening up, really COVID changed our business so much, because when things started opening back up, we had always, my husband had always wanted to have a restaurant, and he worked in the restaurant business some years ago, and when he was younger.
Same.
And I hadn't, and it scared the daylights out of me. But whenever businesses started opening back up, restaurants could reopen, but bars couldn't. So the difference was, you know, the mixing of ingredients and making food. And so we just literally, like, within probably 48 hours, just decided, we contacted our health inspector, what would it take for us to add a restaurant? And she said, you're already considered a restaurant, you know, with us, because we use glass, wine glasses. That's why we're...
Really?
We were we were the first health-approved winery, actually, in the state whenever we opened. So she said, basically, start mixing ingredients, is what she told us. That makes you a restaurant. And so we... My husband's pretty creative, especially in the kitchen. And so we just came up with some pretty simple things. I think we started just with meat and cheese trays, cheese bread, and my kind of famous chicken salad sandwiches.
Tell them.
So it was very simple, but that, you know, is what we needed to open back up.
Also, after a few glasses of wine, food starts sounding pretty good.
You're right. Yeah. And we didn't really think about how that would keep the people here. So that's really what changed our business more than anything, because, you know, people would come here for a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I know for myself that I get a little snacky whenever I'm drinking.
Yes.
And so then would move along to somewhere else that had food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they'll have a glass of wine, and then, you know, they come back in and they order some food. And then, you know, we've expanded our menu, we've added pizzas, and we bake all of our own cakes and things like that. So really, COVID was such a tough time, and I know it was so hard on a lot of businesses, and that makes me sad. And it was hard on us.
Sure.
But it really transformed our business during that time, and we've kind of soared since then. Yeah.
You want to talk about wine when we come back?
Sure.
We're going to get into wine, but first we'll also talk about the Mike Eagleman Home Pro Tip of the Week, and that's coming up next right here on the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas.
Let me show you something.
Connect with us at Flavors of Northwest Arkansas on Facebook and Instagram, or by email at flavorsofnwa@gmail.com.
It is time for the Mike Engelman Home Pro Tip of the Week. For those that don't know, Mike Engelman's my dad. He listens out of state, doesn't know any of the people, any of the places, anything that we talk about. And he said, give me a reason to listen. I'm like, well, Dad, I'm your son. He said, give me another reason to listen. And so he said, how about a tip? Something I can use here. So, Dad, here is your Mike Engelman Home Pro Tip of the Week. Take it away.
So, around here at Tawny Town Winery, you know, we host live music, and so we have a lot of people are trying to figure out what they like.
Okay.
And so the Mike Engelman tip of the week from Heather Rinaldi Peachy is to don't take wine too seriously. So we mix the wine.
Okay.
So if one wine's too dry and another one's too sweet, just mix them together. So my favorite wine.
That sounds like a party.
Yeah, some people take wine so serious and right. Don't think that this is permissible. But so I like to, my favorite drink is about 3/4 Niagara to sweet white.
Okay.
And 1/4 Chardonnay to just kind of make it not quite so sweet.
Interesting.
So
I like the tip.
Yeah.
Everybody pay attention. Don't be so uppity about your wine.
That's
mix
right.
It. Have fun with it. Find your mix.
Drink what you like.
Awesome. We'll be right back.
Just as I was starting my medical training, I came down with an autoimmune disease that led to cancer. I needed a liver transplant. Fortunately, I got one from someone who registered as a donor. As a physician, I understand the barriers to organ donation. Some people think their organs are too old or just don't want to think about dying. But one organ donor can save up to 8 lives. People who register as donors are heroes. And I'm here thanks to my hero.
Be a hero. Be an organ donor. Register today.
organdonor.gov, in case you missed that PSA, please be an organ donor. If you are, thank you. You can also be an organ donor by going to the health app on your iPhone, organdonor.gov. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast. We've been talking about the Tonnetown Winery with Heather Rinaldi Peachy, as well as the wine history in Tonnetown, her family's role. Great conversation. Let's get into the wine, shall we? Would love to talk about the difference of the wine, the grapes, I should say, that are actually grown here versus other regions. What are the popular grapes for our region here?
So here in Tonnetown, we're most known for Concord and Niagara grapes. Okay. The reason why, there was a Welch's plant in Springdale. They closed in, I think, the mid-80s. Moved out of here, but so we've grown a lot of Concord and Niagara for juice grapes. Okay. Also, those are New York varieties, and I've been told that the Italians came, you know, they all came through Ellis Island in New York and then to Tonnetown, and maybe may have picked some of those varieties, you know, some cuttings that may be on their way. I'm not sure, but
possibly brought them with them.
Yeah. So we grow a lot of Concord Niagara grapes. Also, my dad has, over the years, worked really closely with the University of Arkansas. And so he's grown a lot of grapes that they have come up with that may be a little more winter hardy, maybe more disease resistant. There's a lot to contend with in this area because we get cold winters, but we also get hot summers. And then the humidity is a big one.
Sure.
Yeah. So he grows a lot of, he started growing some muscadines. They really were a little north for him, so a lot of times they don't do real well. And then the Arkansas state grape is actually the Cynthiana grape.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also interesting, Dad doesn't grow any of them.
Oh, okay. All
right. But they are, it's the same as the Norton grape that's the Missouri state grape.
Okay.
Same variety, really, but they just have different names. But I know there's a lot of Cynthiana grapes grown in Altus, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, needs to be noted for sure as the Arkansas state grape.
Interesting.
So the Altus area, which is kind of Arkansas's wine country, is they can grow a lot or several more varieties than we can. Just, you know, that extra, 10 degrees warmer and not such hard frost.
It's crazy. And it's so close, basically.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the difference. We're right there on the cusp. So Dad grows several seedless varieties also for like table grapes, and then seeded varieties for, you know, jellies and wine and different things. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Well, let's get into that wine list a little bit, shall we? And got to start with the reds. I'm a little bit of a red wine guy. You've got the Cab, the Italian Red, the Red Muscadine, Concord, and the Amico della Nonna, which is the Tonnetown tradition, I see.
Yeah, so the Amico della Nonna is a Concord wine mixed with brandy.
And
yeah, so it's Granada's Winery was known for their Red Fox wine, and that's what it was. It was Concord wine, and then they jack up the alcohol content with brandy.
I should say.
Yeah. So we decided to do that one just, you know, for fun. We also put the label on that one. It's kind of special. It's a picture of my great-grandmother.
Wow.
And she's standing beside her mule with a cigar out of her mouth.
Yes.
So it's kind of a fun one. It's not a serious wine at all.
I would assume as much, yeah.
Yeah. But probably the wine that we're most known for, definitely the wine that we're most known for, is the Italian Red.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's comparable to a Chianti. It's a semi-dry, so about anybody can drink it. It's mostly a Merlot and Concord blend. So that Concord kind of adds just a little bit of fruity to where, but not too much, where, you know, the sweet wine drinker can eat with it and the dry wine drinker, you know, normally likes it too.
Nice. Very good.
So the Cabernet is one that we don't grow here in Arkansas. We get those as a juice from California.
Okay.
Also for whites, we haven't gotten there yet, but the Chardonnay is the same. We get that as a juice from California and ferment them here.
Awesome. Very good. Well, you open the door, so let's go to whites.
Okay.
Like you said, the Chardonnay, the white Muscadine, Niagara, and a Rock House white, a port style white. I'm really curious about that one.
Yeah. The Rock House white is really delicious. So it's,
you should see the big smile on her face as she says this.
It is really good, and it'll get you too. That's the problem. So it is mostly Niagara wine with the brandy. Mm-hmm. It's sweet, and I love it over like frozen fruit.
Oh, wow.
You could also like add a bubbly water or a, you know, make it like a spritzer really easily.
Sure.
And it's good.
It sounds like it.
But it'll give you a headache tomorrow.
Well, there's that too. Mm-hmm. We all have to pay the price at some point,
totally.
Don't we? Yeah.
I know.
Awesome. And the white Muscadine versus the red Muscadine, tell me the difference. Besides,
you know,
the color.
They're so much different. The red Muscadine is probably easier to drink for people. The white Muscadine is, you either love it or you don't.
Okay.
That's just kind of how it is. I've heard the craziest things. You know, people smell it and they smell all kinds of wild things. and I've heard tar. I've heard all kinds of things.
Oh, wow.
But to me, it smells just like Muscadine fruit.
Okay.
And, but yeah, it's different. One of our girls, Amy, it's the only thing that she drinks, and I swear she can sell it. About anybody.
Love
but,
it.
Yeah.
That's great. So I saw the wine list online. Is that pretty standard? Does it change much? Are there any seasonal differences?
We do. So we make cranberry wine. We drive to Wisconsin every year October. My husband has some family from up there.
Okay.
So his grandparents used to bring back small batches of cranberries, like 50-pound bags to us.
Wow.
And now we go and pull our trailer, and we make it a yearly thing. I think we've done it maybe 6 or 7 years now. And we get 12 to 1,500 pounds, like a big bin of cranberries. And it's a trip. I don't know if we do it for the cranberry wine or for our, you know, just tradition now.
Yeah.
We do cranberry wine. We normally release it right before Thanksgiving.
Okay,
so,
makes sense.
You know, last 2023 cranberries will be released in November 2024. We also make a peachy's peach, peach wine, which is another special one. It has a picture of Grandpa Peachy, who was real precious to us.
Oh.
And whenever he was a little boy, it's him and his brother carrying their lunch baskets. So
sweet.
Peachy's peach. We have made like strawberry, blueberry. One year we made dandelion wine. We crawled around on the ground and picked them ourselves in the front yard.
You're kidding.
No joke. It was a very small batch, and we didn't even sell it. We just kind of, you know, played with it a little bit. And
kind of a family wine.
Yeah. It was really, really weird and pretty good, actually. And then interesting, we couldn't do it for some years after that because we didn't even realize if you pick all the dandelions out of your yard, they don't go to seed and they don't reseed. So our yard was beautiful for
a
few years. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's great. But what else do we do for fruit wines? I think that's it.
So it varies. Yeah. No, that's great. Oh, I forgot to mention the White Zinfandel. I jumped right through it.
Yeah, White Zinfandel. It's kind of a wine that it's not our most popular here at the winery, mm-hmm. but when we go to shows or people buy it for events, it's one of the more popular wines.
Okay.
Our White Zin, he makes it not as sweet as some White Zin.
Oh, okay.
Because White Zin gets a bad name sometimes, you know, for was, like a starter wine.
It was all the rage in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. One time, two ladies were at the bar, and one of them looked at the other and said, "Friends don't let friends drink White Zin."
Oh, my gosh.
I know, and it kind of made me sad because, you know, it's not all created the same.
Well, is it that, or is it the fact that you can drink like five glasses of it in 30 minutes and all of a sudden you're on the floor?
Yeah, that's probably the problem.
That may be it too.
Yeah.
So along these lines, in the last 15 years, 14 years for you guys, what's it been like for you guys building the brand along with the business?
It really hasn't been, honestly, something that we focused on a lot. I think we have focused more on building our business and awareness that we're here. And we've kind of slowly...
And it kind of went along with it.
It did. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And neither one of us are, you know, marketing majors or anything like that.
Sure.
And so we just kind of have been figuring things out. Sure. Along the way. Yeah.
Well, and there were a lot of things inherent with the business, the history, the Tana Town, the Grape Fest. People see it that way. And I think with, you know, the whole town knew about it instantly.
Yeah.
I would think.
Hopefully.
And then kind of gone from there.
It is so interesting. We were just talking about it this weekend, that we'll have people come in still today that are like, "I didn't even know you were here. Oh, yeah, where are you from? Oh, we just live in Elm Springs." And it's like, what in the world? How do you reach them all? And maybe if we would have focused more on building the brand, maybe we would have, you know, caught the people a little bit better. I don't know. But
well, but like you said at the beginning, you've grown with the brand.
Sure.
You've grown with the business.
And we, you know, amongst all of this, we're raising kids, too.
There's that.
So, yeah, our son was... I guess he was four when we started this. I don't know, three or four. He graduates high school.
Wow.
He turns 18 actually next Monday. And then we had a little girl during that time. She's 11. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So busy.
We can only do so much,
right.
You know?
Right. That's awesome. Finally, what would you say to a person that wants to start a winery in Arkansas?
I would say
run.
Maybe. It depends on the day.
Right.
I would say go for it. I would say I would ask to partner with the other local wineries. You know, I think that I'm always preaching that if we support each other, you know, that we can all get further. Easier. And
there are a lot of industries that are like that, like craft beer. They're
That's
all very,
the deal.
Work
together. And I feel like we have that, you know, for the most part in the Arkansas wineries, but I think it's so important just to support each other instead of, feeling like you're competition with
sure.
each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So how and where can folks find you in person and online?
In person, we are 335 North Barrington Road in Tawny Town, just about a quarter of a mile off of Highway 412,
mm-hmm.
kind of by the Tawny Town Post Office across the street-ish. And then online, tawnytownwinery.com. is our website, and then we have social media pages, Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, awesome. And you can find us, Flavors of Northwest Arkansas, on Facebook, on Instagram, and flavorsofnwa@gmail.com. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you for
I appreciate
coming to visit.
Absolutely.
It's been fun.
Absolutely. It's been great, and thank you for your time. I know you're raising two kids, got the business going, the whole bit, and it's really, really windy outside also.
It's kind of yucky today, isn't it?
It's not the best day so far, but I'm wearing a hat because it just wasn't a good hair day for me.
Same.
Thank you so much, and please do not forget to tip your servers. We'll see you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.